rowdy, it's more rowdy than this.
You're a very ugly person.
I understand big body, little tiny weeny brain.
Everybody pays a piper.
You know, you couldn't get a date with a $100 bill on your forehead.
Just when they think they got the answers, I change the question.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Alexander K. Lee. Joined as always by the most handsome man in the professional wrestling podcast world, Connor Dorian.
Handsome this week. Hasn't it always been beautiful?
I'm mixing it up.
Okay.
You look more handsome today than beautiful, if perfectly honest. And
throwing up in the corner.
Not throwing up. Always on top. Always on top of things. Dario Pop Pastorelli, star of so many podcasts, including the Pop and Joe show, our return to the podcast world. It's been a few weeks. We've taken time off due to Pan Am responsibilities, working with the CBC and also Post Media. It was an amazing experience. Now, during that time, we had the passing of Roddy Piper, unfortunately. We're not going to get into that too much on today's podcast, but obviously, we pay our respects to the man, a pioneer of anyone who has ever gotten over on the microphone, and so many people who have, you know, so many good heels. Right, Pop?
Yeah, I think I said it once before somewhere, but there would be no Hulk Hogan, there would be no WrestleMania, there would not be WWE as we know it today without Roddy Piper. Rest in peace, my friend.
Rest in peace, Roddy Piper. Let's move on. We got to catch up on a lot of things. We were talking before the show, guys. I think we've, for the most part, enjoyed a lot of the WWE programming. I mean, if you take certain, you know, if you're selective about it, if you don't try and digest everything.
Can I translate Alex speak here? Which basically means don't watch it live, download it, and then you can fast forward through the boring parts.
Download it.
That is illegal.
From the WWE Network.
You wouldn't steal a handbag. You wouldn't steal a car. You wouldn't steal a baby. You wouldn't shoot a policeman and then steal his helmet. Downloading films is stealing. If you do it, you will face the consequences.
Man, these anti-piracy ads are getting really mean.
See, in the olden days, we call it download. What I meant was like record it on your PVR.
Yes, that's
and then fast forward.
Okay. Old man.
You think I'm illegal here? Come on.
No, we don't support that. Definitely, ideally, if you can watch it the day after, even if you have to watch a Hulu cut, though I've heard that Hulu has been cutting some Rusev stuff, which just sounds insane to me. That's the best part. I want to go in chronological order. Just again, it's been a while, guys. Let's get back into the swing of things. And also, it's a good segment to start off with. Raw kicking off with, once again, a Seth Rollins involved segment. But I thought it was a pretty good one. Connor?
I kind of forget what he was talking about this week. He was talking about
broken nose.
It was the broken nose he was talking about, right? And then the three guys came out and wanted the open title. But, yeah, I'm getting a little sick of, not sick of Seth Rollins. I'm sick of him starting off every show with seems to be the exact same thing every single week. And it was good when Cesaro came out because he said, like everyone was thinking, he just keep going on and on and on and on. And it was the first time that I really enjoyed Cesaro on the microphone, to be honest.
I have to get it's one of those things that almost sounds like an oxymoron where we're saying, you know, we're sick and tired of watching Seth Rollins, the Authority, open the show and then turning around and saying, you know, but this week it was actually kind of okay. But that's what the case was, right?
It wasn't him that made it, though. It was the three guys that came out.
Oh, see, I disagree. I think he was doing a really good job with the part where it was just him. I think that was a huge test, definitely, the Authority not coming out with him. It went logical in the storyline. He's kind of been more of a lone wolf lately, doing his own thing. And also, yeah, a legitimate test to see, can this guy carry a 10, 15-minute segment? And I thought he did so well. Again, he's not The Rock. He's not Stone Cold. He's not even Triple H, whose 20-minute solo promos I find just agonizing. But he's getting there. I mean, he legitimately carried that segment. I thought it was funny. And the crowd was reacting to it really well. They weren't even giving him, like, you know, the silent treatment, which happens sometimes during these, these joining promos. I thought he did well. I thought the lip, you know, imposed thing was cute. I thought that was funny.
Well, I look at it and go, I know he keeps saying it's, you know, it's a test for him, but Like, how many weeks do we have to test him? Because, like I said, it just seems to be very, very repetitive. And we all know that it's going to lead to a match by the end of the night with Seth Rollins in it. I mean, the bookends are predictable. And I think the one thing that wrestling can't be is predictable in that regard.
That's really a problem with the WWE overall, yeah. Especially match outcomes. I can't remember the last time, maybe during pay-per-views, but when you watch a Raw, it's not really... There's really no intrigue of.
I was surprised at one match this week.
Go ahead, yeah.
The triple threat. I was surprised that Randy Orton won.
I wasn't.
No.
I to me, there was no other choice. Who else could you have win? The reason why I say that is you can't have Owens win. You can't have Cesaro win, because if you do, then you have to make them lose to Seth Rollins at the end.
Yeah.
Having Orton lose to Seth Rollins, no big deal.
He did not lose.
True. Oh, yeah. I guess he didn't lose.
Sorry. So
he won by DQ.
Wasn't paying too much attention.
Yeah,
to the
that's.
End of the match.
Well, I think that's what's so infuriating about Orton winning is that him beating Cesaro and Owens is somewhat understandable. But boy, I mean, like I said, I'm in support of Rollins being a quote unquote weak, you know, cowardly champion. I'm in support of it.
Yep.
But you got to be so careful with it, because he essentially. And this isn't the first time this happened. I'm not saying, like, oh, he's the first champion to, like, get hit with a finisher and then essentially be pinned, but, you know, some interference saves him. But you do a little few too many times. And again, it's Randy Orton, who's just, Connor, I know you like him, and I'm a fan of his work as well. He's just such a tired act. So to have him make Rollins kind of look bad, though it was a good match, I don't know. I don't know how I felt about that.
I was saying a tired act. How old is Randy Orton? He's like one of the younger ones
35?
There, isn't he?
35, I believe.
No, Randy Orton, he's not young. I wouldn't say he's young.
He's just been in the business so long.
He's certainly not young in wrestling years. I mean, in wrestling years, he's an old dog for sure.
I was just saying I was surprised by that outcome, because it seems like they never know what to do with Orton. And to put him, I just thought they would just throw him off, like, Orton's in the match, but he's not going to win. They're going to have maybe, but the point that you said too, like, I couldn't see Cesaro or Kevin Owens having their first WWE Championship match on Raw.
It would have been a waste.
Yeah.
For sure. That's just a pay-per-view.
Yeah, I wasn't really thinking that way on Monday.
The sad thing about Randy Orton is there's another universe where he doesn't win the world title. You know, I think he still now holds the record as the youngest world champion ever. And they did that because they wanted to take that record away from Brock, because Brock had left the company. And he wasn't ready at the time. It was a disaster. The first time Randy won his first title over He Who Shall Not Be Named, Voldemort, it was not a good moment for Randy.
Wait,
overall.
Who did he beat?
Voldemort, the man, He Who Shall Not Be Named, erased from history. And I'm not talking about Hulk Hogan. Everyone else will know what I'm talking about. Don't
good
worry
old
about
Canadian
it.
Boy.
Good yeah. old Canadian. Well, Canadian boy. We'll just leave it at that. And how much better would Randy Orton's story be if he wasn't already a 13-time world champion? And if there was some struggle for him to, like, not win his first world title, but, you know, if it actually meant something for him to win a world title, we'd be so much more invested in him. And it's not his fault. It's the nature of the business. It's everything moves so much faster these days. There was two belts floating around for the longest time. So it's a shame, because there's no question he's as good in the ring as anybody who's, I would say, anybody who's ever worked for the company.
Yeah. And someone said, I can't remember, it might have been Michael Cole said on Monday night during Randy Orton's match, that they always talk about John Cena being a 15-time and going to try to tie Ric Flair for 16 times. But they're like, what if Randy Orton came up and won 16
he
before
could.
John Cena?
He could.
I think a good storyline would have him win two more in the span of 2 or 3 years. Do we get him up to 15 with Cena and then have a match between those two with a vacant title or something if something happens like that?
Oh, I don't know.
I think that would be cool.
I think I cannot stand to see John Cena, Randy Orton, or Sheamus win a world title ever again. God, I bet Triple H is even thinking about giving himself another run someday. These guys should never win a world title again. I'm sure one of them will. Maybe more than one of them.
I think all three of them
will.
I was
about to say, I think you just read off the next list.
Yeah.
Right? Well, I mean,
my head.
Brock Lesnar may beat Seth Rollins eventually to get it back. Sheamus cashes it in.
Oh, no.
Starts a feud with Randy Orton.
No.
And then John Cena comes in. I think you just read the next list of champions there. Forget about, you know, them not even being a part of it.
My nose is bleeding right now. Let's move on. So as we said, it led to, you know, and so let's jump into the triple threat match, which I thought was good. It was not as good as the Owens Rusev Cesaro match.
I agree with that.
For whatever reason. I don't know why. You know, no lack of effort on the participants. Just didn't quite have the same.
Before we get into actual match itself, there's one thing that I found interesting. And I didn't realize, I mean, we have since he debuted, have been praising Kevin Owens in terms of his in-ring work, his mic work, and everything between. What I wasn't aware of was that there are people high up in the WWE who don't like him, who don't see him as a champion. And that came through Monday night when Randy Orton made a, well, I guess it'd be considered an inappropriate comment. Maybe not. Called him what, fat?
No, he said, have you put on some weight?
Yeah.
So and then Kevin Owens completely no-sold it.
Called him fight.
Kevin Owens said no.
And just left it there. That was beautiful.
Good, yeah.
But yeah, no, I just thought that, you know, we were looking at this big thing and then realizing that, Kevin Owens maybe not, doesn't have as much of the backing as I thought originally.
I'm surprised that you're surprised.
Why? Because Kevin Owens is a jerk?
He doesn't fit their look. He is obviously not of the, you know, the WWE model, right?
I don't think he'll win a championship until Vince is gone.
But
to be completely honest.
I disagree. I disagree with you, and it depends on, because I think they felt the exact same way about one Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan's almost less of a look, you know, with his
yeah, and they went kicking and screaming, but before, like,
they did it because of the fans.
Yeah,
they bag him.
Remember, Dario. They did not want him headlining WrestleMania. They were doing everything in their power, booking wise, to have him not headline WrestleMania. So that's a perfect example of, like, I'm surprised you're surprised.
Kevin Owens doesn't have that fan support. He did at the beginning, and it's kind of gone now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I said it. What kills me is that, like, you see how this works, and yet you go on sabotaging something that could be huge with Kevin Owens.
Are you suggesting that WWE is a petty company? How dare you that uses personal grudges and nonsense to affect their booking decisions? That doesn't sound like the WWE at all. Sarcasm.
Okay, I thought they just did what was best for business. Double sarcasm.
Oh, Connor, you want to get in there?
No, I'm not sarcastic.
But I understand. I know what you're saying. How can a company be so... What you're really saying, Dara, is how can a company be so ignorant and so blind to the immense talent of a Kevin Owens? But, you know, someone wrote a good article on Lords of Pain. I'm always pimping Lords of Pain. It's a good website. About how there's a clear philosophical divide between Triple H and Kevin Dunn, who's the head producer of most WWE programming. So Kevin Dunn is generally thought of as the guy who likes the sort of Miz, Alex Riley, John Cena, you know, very handsome, traditional, good, well-built types. While Triple H is old school. You know, Triple H is old school and considered to be one of the main supporters of Owens.
Okay, where bigger is better.
Right. You know, and that's, you know, and that's worked for a long time. But yeah, I think Triple H has started to learn that it's not the case, but the other people up top are not quite as into that. Let's move on again. So after the Rollins segment, we were talking about this earlier. We had Team Bad, Sasha Banks, Naomi, Tamina Snuka, facing the Team Bellas, Nikki Bella, Brie Bella, Alicia Fox, with Team PCB, the rebranded Team PCB.
It's not Submission Sorority?
It's kids, Alex, JP, don't Google Submission Sorority. Don't Google Submission Sorority.
I think they already have.
Sure, is it? Hey.
Well, obviously it would autofill because someone else who might share a computer with them has looked it up. But don't go to that. Please, avoid it.
So they're
website.
Not called PVC?
No.
Only Vinyl Carp. Oh, never mind.
Again. No, they're Team PCB because Paige, Charlotte, and Becky. Good job, WWE Creative.
Yeah, very
That's
creative.
Excellent. The match was forgettable, with poor Tamina taking a fall again, as she often does.
Do you have a glove, Connor?
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to, like, slap Alex across the face here. I dost thou challenge thee, dost thou. Thee.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Please don't.
Because, as I said, you're talking about, you know, how horrible WWE is. We say that quite frequently, and how unimaginative they are coming up with a name like, what is it again? PCB?
PCB.
Stands for Paige, Charlotte, Becky? Right?
Becky, yes.
Oh, God, I got it great.
It is a good name then, because actually it worked.
Our dear host here, one Mr. Alex, AK47 Lee, says that he could come up with 20 names in an hour. Now,
I said
we're
the three
go
of us could come up with 20 names.
Well, I'm going to give you... Come up with three names.
By the end of the show, you've...
Am I still allowed to use the word names. Submission? My only question is it obvious, like, that the word submission itself, you know, is problematic?
I think it's problematic when you add something female related.
Sure. Yeah. I can agree with that.
For
no
some
submission.
People.
No, using the word submission.
Yeah.
What?
I'm done. I'm cooked then. Because it's so cool. Such a cool aspect for them. Like, that's not something you see stressed in the divas in women's wrestling. You know, it's like submission skills, which they all have. And I'm like, oh, that's so
okay,
cool.
Okay, I'm breaking kayfabe right here, right now.
Oh, dear.
That's it. That's it. Because I've had enough. I just want to let you know that our host is the best cowardly host there is.
No.
Because he issues challenges like he just did and then doesn't back it up. Just like we'll talk about future, you know, Smash Wrestling and how somebody yells out to Mr. Brent Banks. And then cowardly hides behind me.
Sir, I suggest things.
You are the best cowardly host in the wrestling podcast business.
First of all, Brent Banks is above reproach. Okay, we all know it as a human being and as a performer. And I would never, ever do something so crass as shouting at him during a live event.
That's shouting what?
Nothing. Anything. I would never. Nothing besides. Good job, Brent. That's pretty much what I would say. That's
so
the extent of.
So my ear did not hurt from somebody sitting beside me, namely you, shouting out, "You suck, Brent Banks."
I heard that too, and I don't know who it was. I keep telling you, I heard that too, and we'll find him. Dario, we're going to a show August 23rd. We're going to the August 23rd show. We'll find that guy.
This is a broken record, boys,
and
I think you guys have talked about this about 10 times.
And now you can't come up with three names. You said you could come up with 20.
Come on, Alex.
Three girls, one ring.
Whoa. Oh, see. I don't know Thanks, if it Connor. Can fit in something like three blind mice in there somehow.
Moving on. We've only got so much time, man.
Okay.
I'm trying to encompass all of Raw, all 9 hours of Raw into 30 minutes.
Then here. PCB sticks.
It stinks.
Sticks.
It stinks. It I agree. Sticks. It stinks. Okay. New Day versus Los Matadores. How much do we love New Day?
I used to.
I've been finding that the Twitterverse more and more and more falling in love with them.
Ooh.
I keep hearing more and more.
More about them.
I keep reading more and more about how the New Day are the best thing that's going on right now in wrestling. And this is coming from other wrestlers as well.
I can't skip their act. And now they added some sexy dancing. How sexy was Big E's gyrating, guys, huh? Am I right? Sorry, guys. Sorry, everyone. I think there was a technical... The mics may have went down there for a second.
Boy, we really didn't even touch upon the Divas match, did we? We just skipped right over and went to New Day.
I am an
E gyrating.
I am an equal opportunity... objectifier. Okay, sorry, Biggie. I'm sorry. You're a big sexy man, and your dance moves made me feel some kind of way. That's all I'm gonna say. All right.
I searched names for their tag team.
Oh my god, no.
They're saying that Becky Lynch is by far the best out of the three. So we got Becky Lynch and these other two who hang out with her.
Whoa.
Becky Lynch and the Last Kickers. Which I don't mind.
Last Kickers, they should have taken the Last Kickers thing. That's true.
Yeah, I don't know if they could.
Becky
Back
Lynch
in the day, they
were the Disarmers. And Becky Lynch and Who Cares Who Else, we have Becky Lynch.
Wow. So I'm taking this seems vaguely Becky Lynch biased.
I think so.
New Day, excellent. I'm looking forward to them rematching primetime players, I think.
Yep.
Right? I'm down for that.
Should be a good match.
We talked about the triple threat. Randy Orton winning in a really nice looking finish, I will say.
Yeah, the two RKOs.
That looks really cool. I'll give him some love for that. I'll give him some love. Oh, what do you guys think of the Dean Ambrose Roman Reigns bromance?
Who cares?
You're not an Ambrose fan.
No.
Is that putting it lightly?
Say the least.
Is that yeah?
I'm Pop. Okay with it. I have ulterior motives. I still like to see that third piece reunited. I'd love to have the Shield back together again.
It will.
And the Shield and the Wyatts feuding are... When it was 3-3, that was so good.
The only thing I hate about it is I hate to see them, like, retread that feud. Like, I want to think that they've all moved beyond that, which they haven't.
No. Well, WWE hasn't.
Yeah, but they should.
Seth Rollins is the only one that's moved away from that.
Yeah, but they had like a backstage promo where Ambrose was going like, I've never had a friend before, blah, blah. And then Reigns came in and said some cutesy lines, and Ambrose sang some cutesy lines, and there was some, you know, mediocre acting. It didn't appeal to you at all?
Fast forwarded it.
Oh, you didn't even watch that?
No.
Yeah, I don't know. It's again, it's almost too cute. It's obviously like kind of overly scripted.
Oh, I agree. I think when they face each other, it should be like heel versus heel.
Who?
Should be like the Shield kind of
back
together as,
yeah,
you know, being the original Shield and Wyatt's being the way they are and a slobber knocker.
Yeah, not this weird sort of happy-go-lucky side and then the cryptic dark. By the way, I challenge any of you to tell me what any of Bray Wyatt's feuds were about in one sentence. Pick one. Pick any of his feuds and say that he was feuding with this person because...
I got jealousy. It for you.
Of which one?
All of them.
He's feuding with them because they're popular for all the wrong reasons.
Okay. Now, is that, did you perceive that, or does that come through in his promos?
I think it comes through in his promos, and I think that's what he's getting towards as people are false prophets. John Cena, for example, false person, anybody but you, Roman, you know, because not so much either whether the fans put him on a pedestal or whether the WWE puts them on a pedestal, like they tried to do with Roman Reigns, failed miserably. But I think his angle basically is, look, I'm going to be popular regardless. You're popular for all the wrong reasons. Things get handed to you.
Oh dear. Connor Dorian has actually, thinking about Wyatt and Reigns and Ambrose, has actually made Connor Dorian.
I thought he was talking
out.
About me.
No,
not you,
just
Dario.
A mere mention of his performance.
Talk, but
he's not thrilled.
I'm so sick of every single person in that feud.
Wow.
I've never liked Roman Reigns. Dean Ambrose I liked at the beginning, and then he played this whole lunatic thing, and it went too far for me. I'm like, I'm sick of this guy, too. I've never liked Bray Wyatt. His minions are ridiculous. I don't know why they're in the WWE.
Luke Harper is excellent. Whoa. Slow your roll. Luke Harper is excellent.
At what? At wrestling?
Wrestling?
What else do you have going for him?
He's got sick beard.
A beard.
He's got a dirty shirt.
A beard
shirt.
And a dirty shirt. That's all he got.
By the way, how terrible a visual was that Ambrose-Harper match? Like, just two guys in jeans and tank tops. Just like, I was like, man, Kevin Dunn, the producer, must be freaking out right now. Like, why is this on television? What is going on here?
I
bum flights.
I like Wyatt's character. I like his promos. I think they're odd, and I appreciate them. I like what he did before in terms of coming out with the kids. That was eerie. Oof. I love the fireflies. I think that's a really cool visual effect.
Yep.
And I think he really gets the crowd going in that regard. And I think his wrestling skills is a little ad hoc, you know, when he does that running, flying body. Like, I appreciate, I enjoy watching it.
I think
so
he's good.
I disagree with you there, Connor, but... I do agree that something else has to happen in terms of so they can move forward.
It's the same thing every week.
Yeah, he has such good
promo
skills.
He should become
God.
All four of them is the exact same thing every single week.
That is true.
I would say the same thing about, again, a few other people, especially the Divas. You know what? Just back to the Divas for one thing, because it kind of relates to this, is I hate that their whole way of booking this feud, if you want to call it that, is just them mashing them together in different combinations of the various weeks. Like, I know they have a lot of programming to fill, and it's like, what better to... And we're always saying, let the talents tell the story in the ring. But you know me, I'm a supporter of squash matches and jobbers, right? Like, I hate to call Emma a jobber, but can't you bring in Emma to lose a match to Naomi or something? Or bring in... I guess I don't have that many talents available now that they've depleted the NXT.
Well, Blue Pants.
Blue Pants. Bring in Blue Pants. Oh, but Blue Pants on Raw?
It doesn't look like it's going anywhere, does it?
No,
like
because it's just...
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah,
right? Miz TV, I thought was really solid. You know me, Dario. I'm not a fan of The Miz.
Daniel Bryan.
He brought in Daniel Bryan, and then also there was he taunted Stephen Amell, which I thought was fantastic. I'm not a fan of The Miz, but there's no question that he's one of their most reliable performers that they've had for the last little while. I mean, they can ask him to do anything. He can add a little juice to anything. And I thought him bringing out Daniel Bryan was perfect, and then playing on the history of him being Daniel Bryan's NXT mentor back when that was like a contest type show. I thought that was so... I always loved that, by the way. I remember when it first happened, the internet just raged. How can The Miz train the American Dragon? This guy's been wrestling for 16 years. The Miz, a reality show star, is going to tell him. And I'm like, this is exactly the reaction they want.
Wait,
and
The Miz was with Daniel Bryan? I thought
Dan,
Shawn
they got
Michaels
into a fight.
Was.
No, so there was a so Shawn Michaels was the guy who trained Daniel Bryan back in, back in the day.
Before NXT.
NXT used to be this stupid contest where it was almost like a it wasn't like Tough Enough.
It is exactly like Tough Enough.
It's more like it's like the Tough Enough is now. Yeah.
Exactly. It was exactly
and
like
And they gave
Tough
everyone
Enough.
A mentor. So Jericho was like Wade Barrett's mentor and Wade Barrett went on to win the first NXT. I can't remember some of the other pairings, but
Regal was somebody's mentor.
Regal was somebody's mentor.
There was a Diva, I think, there too.
It was hilarious when they paired up in another season. Low-key, the indie star Low-key with Michelle McCool and Layla. I thought it was awesome. But The Miz, it was funny. They paired Miz up, and Miz, I believe he had just come off losing the world title, or he was in the midst of that main event push. So he was a big star in the WWE, but it was just so insulting to people who were fans of Daniel Bryan before. But I thought it was perfect because it was a natural storyline, and of course they did a little mini feud. And anyway, so they played out with it on Monday. And I love seeing Daniel Bryan, love his attitude. You know, maybe he smiles too much, I don't know. But it's cool. It's just cool seeing him back and getting to interact with the crowd again.
He smiles too much like Sarah Lee.
I know. How dare he call her on that? Eh?
The Miz reminds me a lot of Piper, which is probably one of the...
praise.
It is, and I'll explain why. The Miz can handle his own. And like I said, I think he would have been leading up to the match what was most entertaining if they had a three-way with him, the show, and Ryback.
Mm-hmm.
But Miz is good because he can help other storylines. Mm-hmm. I remember back in the day, one of the biggest matches of all time was Hulk Hogan against Andre the Giant, WrestleMania 3. And everything happened prior to that, leading up to it, was on Piper's Pit. And you have Hulk Hogan, who we know only has 23 words in his vocabulary, and you have Andre the Giant, who can just warble something that resembles English.
So are these 23 words, they all racist, or just a couple?
Just a couple.
Right.
But it was actually Piper that propelled that feud and made it as big as it was in terms of driving force. And I think Miz, seeing it would happen now with Stardust and with
Amel.
Amel, who was... Wow. I don't know how you can go from, you know, in his seat, he did what? In one hop over the barrier, one hop landed on top of the ring, and a third hop over the top rope into the ring. Like, it's like a freaking cat going on there.
Well, he does all his own stunts and arrows.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
He seems like a cool guy. I'll say this based on other things.
That's,
you know,
like his second or third time there, isn't it?
And he's a good old Canadian boy, too.
First time.
No, he's definitely been there more than once.
Are you sure?
Yes, because my girlfriend always asks me what celebrities are there, and she loves Arrow.
Stephen Amell.
She's like, oh, he's on it again. I was like, oh, he was on it before.
He's a big Blue Jays supporter, too. Stephen Amell, we love you. And I think him and Neville and, sorry, I'm just
King Barrett and Stardust.
Is it King Barrett?
Oh. Yeah.
I think that's going to be a fun match.
It should be interesting.
Sure. It's going to be a good time.
I mean, obviously,
too bad we're going to miss it.
He's not a wrestler, but...
How about Neville just straight up beating King Barrett? Boy, winning that King of the Ring really skyrocketed King Barrett.
Yeah, propelled him into success.
A fantastic R-Truth feud, which I think none of us. Well, I heard the 2-disc DVD set is coming out soon.
Wait, they had a feud?
Again, that old fast forward button, really.
Yeah,
was the Scepter versus Plunger match.
Oh my goodness gracious!
I'm glad I forgot about that.
Yeah.
So before we get off this Miz TV, how do you guys feel about Ryback coming back?
Good.
Yeah,
he gets it. Just cements that he never should have turned heel. The crowd was so into it. They're chanting "Feed Me More." The yes chants blended into the "Feed Me More" thing when he's sitting at the meat hook. And that whole segment was amazing with Ryback and Big Show fighting and Miz getting like squashed. That was so well done.
You recognize good cowardly talent, don't you?
I do. I told you. I don't like. Whoa!
I made Connor laugh.
Did I just get burned?
No, I say you appreciate it.
No, but in all seriousness, though, you know me. I'm such a critic of The Miz. I hated his main event push. He never should have been world champion. So many things I don't like about him. But as we've said many times during this show, boy, he gets a reaction. He knows how to help other people get a reaction. He's definitely, give him credit as well for Ryback's appearance. You know, Miz built the crowd up. He buttered the crowd up so that when Ryback shows up, they're all for Ryback to beat this guy up and shut him up. And yeah.
Oh, the case in point, mm-hmm. Look what he did for Mizdow. I mean, as great as Damien was, and he was, you need a figure like the Miz there to make it work. So, yeah, no, he's very good at doing that.
one more thing. Let's talk about the, you know, the main event was Randy Orton, Seth Rollins, but the real main event in our hearts
was the fish.
That's the mascot of the show. The Rusev fish is the mascot of the show for sure.
Best line ever.
It's a fish. Zemir, take it, take it. Take the fish.
Dramatic. It's headless.
What's better name to name a cold fish after another very famous cold fish that we all know? Lana!
I'm still laughing. When I have a bad day, I just Google Rusev fish and I just laugh.
It's comedy gold.
But he had him and Lana and Summer Rae and, I don't know, Mark Henry, arguably had the most memorable segment of the show when Lana, you know, we know she had a no physicality clause before. That's already been tested in the last few weeks with some cat fighting with Summer Rae. But it really, there was certainly some physicality after this Rusev-Mark Henry match. Would you agree?
What happened again?
Connor?
I got to explain it.
If you'd like.
Well, they had a little, they always get into it, those two, because they're the same person now. And Summer Rae put Lana in the accolade.
Oh, yeah,
it was
right.
The best accolade I think I've ever seen.
It was a good one.
I had to stop watching wrestling for a while after that one. That was nice.
Oh.
It was a really good one. First of all, I think Summer Rae is an underrated talent, both personality-wise. In ring, I think she's... I'm not saying she's amazing, but I think for some reason there's this perception that she's like crap in the ring. I don't know why. She's average. She's certainly... She's okay. You put her in there with a good wrestler, she's going to give you a good match. You put her in there with a bad wrestler, she's going to put on a bad match.
But the question is she better than Tamina Snuka?
Sadly, yes. Doesn't that sound crazy? I mean, it can't be, but she is, isn't she? Like, boy, I don't know what happened to Tamina. Tamina was, like, not horrible before. I don't know what's happened to her. Maybe she lost confidence after her injury. Sorry, I hate to speculate on that sort of thing, but Tamina has been horrible.
I look at Samurai, and I've never really thought of her as being a good in-ring performer or out-of-ring performer. I mean, if she just stands there, that's perfect. But what she's shown recently, I lose interest in people who are just annoying unless they show me something else. Mm-hmm. And putting on that accolade the way that she did showed me like she can bring out like a fierceness and bring out the bee. And I went, you know what? Hey, wow. Now you're showing me something on top of just being annoying. And I think it adds to her being annoying.
Yeah, that wasn't no wrestling training camel clutch there. That was like, she like cranked that neck back. Credit to Lana as well, who really sold it. Like, she had good facial expressions. Like, it's
very
hard.
Very flexible.
For sure. Yeah. And it's, no, and her face during the whole thing, the look of fear in her face when she realized she was about to get her butt beat. And then afterwards, like, the, you know, she was really like, I think really for a character who's been so, you know, when she's introduced so rough, like supposed to be so mean and tough, to be able to get sympathy like that is hard. It's really hard to do. And I think she did a great job. And again, credit to all the performers involved in that segment for you know, being able to create that emotion. I felt that the crew was really on point that night as far as getting reactions from the crowd and things. But
the one thing that you brought up, and I don't know if now is the time you want to bring it up, but it was Lana who went to the ring, right?
Yes. Once again.
It was Lana that attacked her first, right?
Once again, yeah. Rusev the babyface.
Who's the heel? Who's the face? I mean, what's going on
now,
here?
Admittedly, Summer was trying to sort of distract Mark Henry, but she did not touch Mark Henry. She did not touch Lana. Lana pulled her off the apron quite viciously, harming Summer Rae first. So really, it was just self-defense.
And, yeah, and how... I mean, if we imagine this to be real, for a brief moment.
Wait, what?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Earmuffs, please. Just, earmuffs.
Oh, let me ask you. Let me put it this way then, so not to break any curtain or fourth wall here. How much restraint did Rusev show in not helping Summer Rae go after Lana?
Whoa, okay. What the?
Oh, come on. She comes down into fears into his match and literally costs him the match.
Thank goodness this is coming on the heels of a practice podcast we did, I'll call it, where Ontario wanted to see Eva Marie bludgeoned to death by a gauntlet of wrestlers.
That was female wrestlers.
I know, but I'm just saying, in general, you seem to...
I Yeah, now we know where Alex gets it from. Yeah.
Exactly. Poor Alex. Such a violent young man. Now I know why.
That's why we sent him to summer camp for 2 weeks, just to take a break from his dad.
Alex Passarelli, you're a good boy.
Hi, Alex.
You too, JP.
And you too, JP. Well, JP we know is good. Alex is a little vicious.
Yeah, we know JP's good.
It's on tape, his comments on what he would like to see more of in wrestling. Blood and weapons.
Here's the TLC matches. Yeah. He wants more TLC matches.
But
he's a good kid, man.
All hail the Rusev flag. All hail the new Bulgarian flag with Rusev's body emblazoned on it.
That's hilarious. I was killing myself laughing.
It really is right now him and the New Day, I think, that are just taking everything by storm.
Killing it. Every segment they're in, they just kill it. Love it. So I think overall, an enjoyable Raw. That's my opinion. Again, with some skipping. You skip some things, but overall, an enjoyable Raw. I think the talent is really stepping up.
I think it was one of my, I wouldn't say favorite Raws, but it's one of my top Raws in the last month.
I agree.
I would say.
It's the final match,
it was good.
It was. I didn't watch it as much. I said the best thing about that match was they showed clips from WrestleMania with the RKO off the curb stomp. That to me was the best part of the match.
Which had our own Jamie Mountain freaking out apparently.
Yep. Shout out to Jamie Mountain.
Yes, the Mountain Man.
The Mountain Man. So after an enjoyable Raw, missing one Jonathan Cena, could they capitalize by having John Cena on Tough Enough the very next night? Guys, what do you think?
Well, he didn't have much of a segment on Tough Enough.
It was a good one.
He was kind of there just to say that he was going to be facing Rollins. That's the only reason why he was there.
But that was a good speech he gave.
Oh, yeah. Giving them a little pep talk.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I was telling Pop yesterday for like that 3-minute speech or whatever, 2 minutes he did. I was like, yo, Tough Enough is really good. And then he stopped talking, and I was like, oh, wait a minute. No, this show is horrible.
It seemed like Cena was concussed, though. I don't know if you guys felt the same way.
His speech was good, though. I was like, this guy is such a company guy. Like, to treat this show with any sort of seriousness and say, like, to actually say with a straight face that these people are the face of the the future of the company or this show matters. I'm like, man, bless you, Cena. Bless your heart. How do you do it?
It should be on it every week.
It's unreal.
I think the one thing that got nailed home this week for me on Tough Enough was my two favorite characters. Love Sarah Lee. Love ZZ.
We all do.
I don't
These
know if
guys
I love ZZ.
Suck. I'm sorry, but you're really, really bad. I don't want to go out that harshly, but even I was going, okay, maybe you should leave this week.
Yes, we say this obviously as people who have never, done any wrestling ourselves.
Oh, I can't do it. I give them credit for being, they're 100 times better than I am.
But as fair critics, I don't think they're 100 times better than you are. I think Sarah Lee might be like 2 or 3 times better than you are. ZZ, maybe 5 times, but 100, no.
I would go
That's how bad they are.
No, that's how bad I am.
See, I don't think they're that bad.
Both my eyebrows just went up. Justify your comment, sir.
They know... Well, other than Sarah Lee, God bless her soul. But so ZZ knows how to be a performer. He could be the only one that knows how to be a performer.
I agree. ZZ does have a chance. You know what I see Sarah Lee as, and I'm going old school again. Oh, here.
Manager?
Yeah, not just any manager. She's a Miss Elizabeth type manager. No. She can't be anything else. Seriously though, can you see her being mean?
I was going to say she doesn't have the charisma of a Miss Elizabeth, but just being real here and out of respect for her, Miss Elizabeth also did not have the widest range of emotions.
She didn't need to. She didn't need to.
Sure enough.
It was perfect that she was a businesswoman in backscene. And I mean, the one thing that I'll take home from Tough Enough was Booker T. Stop smiling. Stop smiling.
Holy jeez. And she just smiled more.
It's
a nervous tick.
It is.
Clearly.
It is. And that's why I can't see her. That's why I see the resemblance to Miss Elizabeth so much, because Miss Elizabeth had the same thing.
Sure.
Always smiling, nothing else, no physicality. And occasionally, every once in a while, she took her skirt off to distract
that one
the referee.
Time. Life-changing.
That was life-changing.
A generation moved. Let's put a generation moved. That's the wording I'll use.
Group of teenage boys grew up.
Moved. Just moved. It sounds so rude to say, and if I'm being sexist and rude here, I own it. I feel terrible to say it, but... Like, honestly, she's such a pretty girl, and she seems very nice. Why not just go be a model? I don't understand why she doesn't. It's great that she loves wrestling. I truly believe she has a passion for it. I have a passion for playing basketball. No matter what I do, I could practice for 10,000 hours, the whole 10,000-hour theory. I'm not making the Toronto Raptors. I'm not making the NBA. I don't think she can become a professional wrestler. I think she go be a model, go do modeling. She has a gorgeous face, one of the most gorgeous faces I've seen on WWE.
She's trying to pursue her dream,
and God bless her for it.
Quit cutting her down.
But I think she has to recognize she's not good at it.
But I have to agree with Alex here. I mean, we're a little over the top in terms of sexually and stuff like that. And as Alex says, it is his fault. So
I apologize, but.
Yeah, well, I apologize.
Modeling is a legitimate career. It's a lot of
I
work.
Accept your apologizing for me being really sexual here. It's still your fault.
And ZZ, I think we agree. He could. There's
definite
a place
potential
for him in the company.
There's a place for him.
Not in the ring.
He can grow into it. I mean, he's what? He's 19? He can't even drink yet.
18.
18. So, like, there's still tons of time for him to improve and get
his
on it.
His attitude, though.
He's not going to win this. He shouldn't win this.
We were talking about this before. Like, at the beginning of the show, he had so much charisma. He was, like, he was hilarious. And now he's just kind of just so, like, quiet and...
A little arrogant.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Strange.
A little arrogant.
Yeah.
Well, I look at... let's go back. NXT. Who was in that first group? Because they remember they stormed. You had Wade Barrett, who's still around, but
my boy
jobber.
Heath Slater.
He's had some decent runs with some funny gimmicks.
Still
employed. Ryback.
Yes.
Was part
Skip
of it.
Sheffield, yeah. Michael Tarver, who did nothing, but he wasn't that great. He was marginal. Right. Yeah.
Daniel Bryant was
a
part of that group.
Little known talent named Daniel Bryan.
Who was the lawyer? There was a lawyer.
Oh, we forgot. Oh, Otunga.
Yeah. David Otunga.
Boy, was he part of that?
He was part of it.
And also one Darren Young, also current tag team champion.
Darren Young.
That was a
and
stacked class.
There was one other one. High Flyer Gabriel.
Justin Gabriel.
Justin Gabriel.
No longer employed, but a fine wrestler.
But, yeah, so I mean, ZZ, like I said, I don't think he's going to win, but he doesn't have to. I think people like ZZ and Chelsea... still have the opportunity.
Chelsea will be back.
I think he is going to win. I think ZZ is going to win.
So let me get the
popularity contest.
Yeah, let me get this straight. So it is a fan vote to the very end. It's not like
that's
final two and then the judges pick. It's fan vote all the way.
I think so.
ZZ and Sarah. It's not even a question.
No.
It's not even a question.
Unless we do what we're talking about and have both of them in the final three and save the other person.
Yes.
And one of them has to go.
Has to go.
Well, it won't happen now because...
It will be ZZ, though.
Well, it'll be ZZ because Sarah and Lee and Amanda are now the final two.
Yep.
So, sorry, for anyone who didn't see the episode, Gigi was the one that was taken out. We'll get to that. We'll talk about that more in a second. But it is down to Sarah, Lee, and Amanda. So the girls' side is the finals decided. The men's side down to Tanner, Josh, and ZZ. Josh really looking like a superstar, for
sure. So is Tanner.
He is, but he's
lacking charisma.
Boy, he's not just like, I mean, that's an understatement, isn't it?
I don't know about lacking it. I thought they put on a great match. I think, you know, when you start looking at a wrestler, you have to have in-ring performance. I think he can be.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be, you know, a speaker. I think he can improve on that. And the third thing nobody talks about is that the logistics behind everything, you really have to be able to live this kind of lifestyle,
yes.
Being away from your family, being different city of in and out. And he went toe-to-toe with Jericho, and he survived. He could drink. And I think that's a good quality to have. He can be one of the boys.
The other thing is, he's an MMA fighter. He's used to being away from his, sort of being away from whatever family, girlfriend. Clearly, as far as we know, at least as it's depicted on the show, he doesn't seem to have any strong familial ties as far as children or significant others. So that's a bonus for him.
He's hitting on everybody.
He's and failing miserably. And the other thing is, he picks things up quickly. The way he did that roll-up, the schoolboy,
yeah,
that was impressive. I mean, he just went for it.
I think he had the tougher job in terms of...
Having
to wrestle a woman.
And poor Gigi losing her character. Like, not sure what to do with her character. It doomed her. Like, she had that great... You know, remember, she was the winner. I think she was the female winner of the character when they were doing the character competition. Mm. The boss, her, like, you know, Queen Bee, whatever, her nasty Queen Bee character. And she logically tried to carry that over to her match with Tanner, you know, which is what she's comfortable with. And the NXT wrestlers that were watching, that were comprising the audience, were so confused, they started booing her. And Jericho actually had to say, she's the face, guys. That's not a good sign.
No.
That was, I mean, the writing was on the wall right there.
Unfortunately, because I just think she was the best out of the three women that were left.
In ring, yeah, for certainly. Though Amanda.
Chelsea was the best out of the four.
Chelsea is leagues ahead. Though she thought she was better than she was.
Yeah.
She definitely made a mistake. Yeah, the way she performed.
She's a good old Canadian girl.
Fine line between confidence and arrogance, right?
Yeah, and I think honestly, when you're put in that scenario, it's really hard to know what they're looking for. So I don't blame her.
You push. No, I agree. Yeah, I mean, they're telling you have to stand out. So telling you not be afraid. It's like anything. Mm-hmm. So you go out there and you start, beating your chest, saying I'm the best, I'm the best, and now you look like an asshole. It's like, hold on a second.
Some girls better not beat their chest, and they might pop.
Did you read when they're reading?
That was a direct Amanda reference.
Yeah, did you read when they're reading?
Because it sure as hell couldn't be Sarah Lee.
Sarah Lee, we love you. Okay, I just want to say it again.
Still love
we
you.
Love you.
We still love
did
you.
Did you see when Gigi and Amanda were reading the mean tweets? and then someone was saying, like, I hope Amanda falls on her face or something and her implants burst. And it's like, and she's like, ew.
Yeah, there's a lot of mean people. We're not
that
like
that.
That
was sick. That was sick, but...
Not even Connor's like that.
But it was a hilarious segment. There were some good segments lately. That and then last week with the Josh and Tanner. Josh trying to teach Tanner how to flirt with women.
Yeah, that was funny. Josh had a hilarious line this week too.
Which one he said?
And he's like, Tanner was like, I was just hungover today. And then Josh is like, so some could say you hungover every day then.
Oh yeah, like what was wrong with like why couldn't you?
I was surprised that he didn't strike back at that one. It was almost like, there's like a good friendship developing there, and then hopefully there is, because I think the two of them would be able to work well together.
Yeah, I totally understand the Josh appeal, and actually, insanely. He seems more humble than ZZ. Isn't that strange?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's confident. Certainly, Josh is confident, as he should be. I think
he's the best one there.
But it's weird that ZZ is... Gosh, again, I know it's the way it's edited, but he seems so deluded at times with, like... He has to know he has to work on his cardio. Like, I honestly thought when they were showing, like, the match with him and Josh and sort of slowing it down dramatically, like, oh, are they slowing it down? Like, is this the part where he, like, gasses out and, like, just collapses? But thankfully, it was just for dramatic effect. But I thought they were, like, something horrible was going to happen. ZZ was going to get hurt. It's not good.
No, but it is what it is. And I think the only reason why we even find parts of the show exciting is because we are taking it as a tongue-in-cheek and not as seriously earth-shattering as the people that are putting it on are.
And I think they are, too. I think both Cena and I believe Daniel Bryan jokingly referred to the show as, like, the greatest show on television or something, or the greatest show on WWE television. And I'm pretty sure, they're aware that it's been a little bit of a... It's been a semi-disaster.
Ratings. It could be the best original WWE network.
What are you saying about Swerved, man?
I haven't seen
what
that
else
yet.
They have? Swerved, Legends House.
What's the claim?
I actually have seen episodes of Legends House.
Boy.
And is it good?
How was it?
I actually have seen episodes of Legends House.
We'll just end that can there. Also count, and I'm loathe to mention it, we can count Total Divas as part of the WWE. They don't produce the show. They don't produce the show.
That's an E-channel.
I know. They don't produce the show. But I think it's fair to give them credit,
that's the
obviously.
Best one.
They produce the talent. I mean, the talent is there. They sign all the waivers, whatever. Let's give WWE some credit for that show.
Great show.
And one day, Connor, we'll bring in a guest to talk to you about that show.
Yeah.
Today will not be that day.
No.
And
if only we didn't lose a certain episode.
Well, again, these things happen. But shout out to Marta Crook for joining us for our practice episode we did recently.
The lost
She'll
episodes.
Be back. Marta, we will have you back on for some lively Total Divas discussion. We're winding down in Tough Enough. I guess there's probably two episodes left. Presumably next week. It'll be interesting because your bottom three has to be the three guys.
Yep.
Tanner's toast, right?
I would say so.
Dario, what do you think? Tanner's chances of surviving past next week and making the final
but
two?
The only way they can fix that is obviously they're going to be the three guys. Save Tanner.
I was going to say Josh is gone.
But no, I think Josh would get more votes than
what
ZZ.
What if, though? Could you risk that, though?
Hold on a second. Oh, no, wait a second. Time out. I forgot. Miz would have. I guarantee you Miz would have just stirred the pot up. But it's Daniel Bryan who's got the last one. Who is Daniel Bryan like?
No, it's fine. But let's say it's down to Josh and ZZ. Can you risk Josh getting voted out? I know what you're saying. Logically, Josh should get more votes than ZZ. If people have any logic at all and are not just trying to ruin the show, Josh... But there's no guarantee. ZZ could easily get more votes than Josh. And then you have an Evan... Evan. I was thinking of Evan Tanner. There's a former UFC fighter, deceased UFC fighter named Evan Tanner. I'm sorry. So Tanner, that was a logical mistake to make. Tanner and ZZ final. Can you have a Tanner and ZZ final? I say no. You need Josh in there. You can't risk
the
it.
The only way to do that is to make ZZ out to be terrible next week.
They've tried.
Just absolutely.
They've tried.
Record him saying something racist. That'll get him kicked off.
That damn patch. What?
They did that already, didn't they? To somebody on the show?
Oh, no. Oh, collusion. Collusion and conspiracy, according to Pop. Mafia as
listen here, brother.
Okay. Mafia as Sports from the Six, as Flip Livingston would say. So, two more episodes is tough enough to go. Let's close this show, though, by talking about, because I'm sorry to say, we might not be able to record again next week. We'll see. Circumstances. We'll see. Maybe.
Yep. Or for a few weeks.
Right. So let's talk about now Super Showdown 3, Smash Wrestling, August 23rd, Sunday, same day as SummerSlam. Let's look at this match rundown here. So it looks like they've got the whole card down. We've got a triple threat: Matt Cross, Pepper Parks, Rich Swann. We've got Chris Hero going up against his Infinity Gauntlet rival, Tarik. I'm never going to get that right. It looks like there's a six-man tag or some sort of multi-man match. Sorry, I'm just looking at the picture.
Three teams.
Three teams. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Triple threat tag team match.
Yes,
triple
the Overdogs, team, yes. The Super Smash Brothers, and then Drew Gulak and a mystery partner.
They didn't announce anybody, but it's the masked man that attacked someone at the last show.
Yes, that we weren't at. Right, yeah. Okay. Which I guess presumably is not Biff Busick.
I'm wondering if that's possibly a new member of Fourth Gun.
Of course it is. Is it you, Dario?
Spoiler.
Spoiler.
Nope.
And then we have a tag match with Craven and Courtney Rush. I don't know why they're teaming up. These two can't seem to get along, but I guess you got to team up against the dastardly Americans, quote-unquote American, Cherry Bomb and Kimberly, the Woo-hoo! Kimber Bombs. Then you got Kincaid, Show Stealer from Dry Core Kicks ALS against the wonderful and delightful Brent Banks. Scotty O'Shea taking on...
He said that with attitude, didn't he?
Scotty O'Shea taking on JT Dunn. JT Dunn, I can't remember if you guys were at the show. His partner's name Star. They're a really good tag team, so that should be a good match. And then the main event, full of intrigue. Our Smash Wrestling champion, Jonathan Gargano, facing the champion, the people's champion, Candice LeRae. Connor, thoughts?
Oh, you don't want to know my thoughts about this.
I thought you didn't want to know my thoughts about this.
I would like to see Candice win.
We all would.
Exactly. So I'm not going to pick Gargano. I think it's going to be a great match. They've had lots of matches before. I haven't seen any, but I've heard they're fantastic.
Yes, this will not be the first time they've tangled in the ring. Well, okay, look, everyone knows.
Are you saying so? No, everybody doesn't know. Explain to those who are laughing right now, or actually explain to those who are not laughing right now.
They are a couple outside the ring, and it's been acknowledged in the storyline, because Johnny has said, look, What was his wording? Baby's not...
You'd rather my baby than my title anyway.
Baby's not belt, something to that effect. Like, why fight? Make love, not war. You know, Dare, you know what I'm talking about. I'm saying that's a phrase from both of our...
From the 40s?
Youth, yes. And you also have... You know, I'm a dad, right? So I understand about
that's
making babies.
Yes.
I'll explain it to you one day, Alex.
Yes, between... Thank you. I just need to know where it goes.
Yeah. I'll explain it to you, Alex.
He'll show you where it goes.
It's a good looking... Okay, all right. So it's a good looking
Too
card.
Far.
The real intrigue of the main event is there was just a report that Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa...
Enter, you know, dramatic music here. Dun, 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 dun.
Yes. Who... Johnny's made several appearances for WWE NXT. Just, you know, they hire local guys sometimes to do dark matches, things like that. But... There's been rumors of his signing an actual developmental deal for a long time. Nothing confirmed. But he and Tommaso Ciampa, another indie star, were at their most recent tapings and actually defeated Bull Dempsey and Tyler Breeze. Now, that doesn't have to mean anything. It could have just been a cool surprise, cool match for the live people in attendance. That much might not, because I think that match is likely not to be on TV. But it is very rare to bring in two independent wrestlers who are not officially signed to defeat established talent like Bull Dempsey, who's whatever... And Tyler Breeze, who is still I think one of their top guys. So, if Mr. Gargano is with the company, it's unlikely he would be holding on to any independent titles for a long period of time. Is that fair to say?
it's fair to say, but can you imagine if he shows up to NXT taping with the Smash title? That would be amazing.
Oh, all hail Smash. That would be lovely. Won't happen, but that would be lovely.
Throw it in the trash? Like, an
gentlemen, we know what I'm getting at here, besides him retaining the title and possibly bringing it to NXT, which would be the bomb. Is Candice LeRae going to win the Smash Wrestling title?
Yes.
It's possible, but I'm not sure.
Do we have a problem at all with a woman holding a promotion's top title?
Absolutely not.
I'm a bit more hesitant. I know it's not the same thing, but in the back of my mind, I always come back to WCW and Arquette winning it. And not so much in terms of having an actor win it or somebody outside of the business winning it. It was just the amount of outrage that came out from the wrestlers themselves. Because for them, they felt that it cheapened the belt. And I think with Arquette, it did.
Now, one key difference, obviously, is that Candice is an in-ring performer.
She's an in-ring performer, and she's a very good in-ring performer.
Very respected.
Now, if this happens in 90 seconds, I will be pissed off. If there is a solid match, if she holds her own, and, I mean, we've witnessed she's taken some really sick bumps from men in the past.
Currently trending on the, going viral on the internet right now, her taking
that
vicious
backbreaker,
elevated double knee backbreaker,
springboard into the court. It was just,
her flying about 8 feet in the air.
And I'm not saying that she needs to get beat up a lot, which is really unusual for me saying that women shouldn't get. No, so, just kidding.
So horrible.
I'm just saying is that if she can hold her own, if she can, you know, mix in her attack moves, and if they both can sell it well, then yeah, sure, put the belt around her.
Now, to play devil's advocate, some people would say the opposite, that it's less believable that she could win after a prolonged match and that she should win, that a woman should only beat like a, you know, a world champion like that, you know, with some sort of flashpoint. I disagree with that. Like, I'm with you. I hope there's a just a regular good old fashioned lengthy title match. But I understand, and I've mentioned this before, that Lance Storm is someone who said he does not enjoy intergender wrestling. He finds it's too unbelievable. You know, and I understand that because realistically, you know, a big male with more muscle mass should be able to defeat a female wrestler 9 times out of 10. Right? Realistically, you know, that's not being sexist. That's just sadly genetics.
I think that's what they're saying too. Like, if you take it across to a sport like tennis, for example, and that the, you know, 75th to 100th ranked male tennis player should beat the number one women's tennis player. That's what I've been hearing in terms of that. Now, Serena Williams may have changed all of that.
She's played a man before. She did not win. But she was younger.
And going back to like Billie Jean King when she played against somebody that was like twice her age. So that really, she won, but I mean,
yeah,
again, Billie
Jean King
did
win, yes.
So I don't know, but I do think that it has to be. I like the match to be long, but I think the winning maneuver has to be something sneaky, something quick. I think that's the only way that becomes believable, though. Or interference.
I'm almost sure there's going to be some fourth gun interference.
Tariq.
Pardon?
Tariq.
I'd be very surprised if there wasn't a little bit of overbooking as far as, like, you know, fourth gun interfering, then some Smash Wrestling guys interfering, and then somewhere during this cluster F, Candice picking up a win.
How about...
Uh-oh.
How about, who's Tariq fighting again? Chris Hero?
Yes, sir.
How about fourth gun, a.k.a. Tariq, interfering? Purposely costing Gargano the match.
Are you talking about a Candice heel turn?
Not necessarily. Or somebody just saying, you know
Tariq
what, we want
turn.
You out of fourth gun because you're not carrying it anymore, and this is the best way to embarrass you, get it out of the country, and then boom, he moves on to NXT. Just saying.
Regardless, it's an interesting idea. Regardless, I think we're all looking forward to it. It's been a really well done, slow built storyline. They haven't forced, you know, they let, you know, Candice was a hit the first time she showed up, but I mean, they let her get over organically for sure. I didn't feel there's any, like, sort of, you know, why did they let her beat this person? I think she's gotten everything she deserved. And if that culminates in her winning the Smash Wrestling title, it would certainly be fitting. So that's Sunday, August 23rd. I believe tickets are still available. Probably not VIP. But
like us,
this will be in Etobicoke at the Franklin Horner Community Center. Scheduled to start 4 p.m. Open at 4 p.m. Start at 5 p.m. I don't know if they're going to adjust it to compensate for SummerSlam. Probably not. So if you're planning to catch this and SummerSlam, plan accordingly. Trying to run, boy, run. The secret inside of you.